Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 358, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. When in his might the Lord arose to set us free, and Zion was restored from her captivity, in transports then of joy and mirth, we praise the Lord of all the earth. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 358.
Thank you.
Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the prophecy of Micah in the second chapter. Micah chapter 2, but first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, and that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Micah chapter 2. Woe to them that devise iniquity and work evil upon their beds. When the morning is light, they practice it, because it is in the power of their hand. And they covet fields and take them by violence, and houses and take them away. So they oppress a man and his house, even a man and his heritage. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, against this family do I devise an evil, from which ye shall not remove your necks, neither shall ye go haughtily, for the time is evil. In that day shall one take up a parable against you, and lament with a doleful lamentation, and say, we be utterly spoilt. He hath changed the portion of my people. How hath he removed it from me? Turning away, he hath divided our fields. Therefore thou shalt have none, and that shall cast a cord by lot in the congregation of the Lord. Prophesy ye not, say they to them that prophesy, and they shall not prophesy to them, that they shall not take shame. O thou that art named the house of Jacob, is the Spirit of the Lord straitened? Are these his doings? Do not my words do good to him that walketh uprightly? Even of late, my people is risen up as an enemy. Ye pull off the robe with the garment from them that pass by securely, as men averse from war. The women of my people have ye cast out from their pleasant houses, and from their children have ye taken away my glory forever. Arise ye and depart, for this is not your rest. Because it is polluted, it shall destroy you, even with a sore destruction. If a man walking in the spirit and falsehood do lie, saying, I will prophesy unto thee of wine and of strong drink, he shall even be the prophet of this people. I will surely assemble, O Jacob, all of thee. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together as the sheep of Bozrah, as the flock in the midst of their fold. And they shall make great noise by reason of the multitude of men. The breaker is come up before them. They have broken up and have passed through the gate and are gone out by it. And their king shall pass before them, and the Lord on the head of them. As so far the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this morning both Dustin Grisnick and Chad Outshorn, who both need to be in the hospital this week, Thursday. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, all-knowing, heart-searching God of the heavens and of this earth, we in thy house in this morning attempt to draw nigh unto thee. Thou art the true God. Thou art also the living God. And thou hast created each and every one of us. And thou knowest what we have made of our creation. And thou knowest how that we live from day unto day. Lord, from our side, and then there is nothing but death. There is nothing but destruction upon thy entire creation. Our sin has brought in this world consequences, great miseries, warfare, sicknesses, fightings, the murders of men, adultery, and all kinds of evil lying within our hearts and also permitted to come forth from us day by day. And thou who art so holy, so righteous and so just, and who sittest in thy high and thy holy place with all of the cherubims and the seraphims about thy holy throne, magnifying and glorifying thy holy and thy great name with all of thy church triumphant. And then thou knowest how that we grovel in the dust of this world, that we are so of the earth earthy, that we have no desire after the true and the living God by nature, and that we are so satisfied with all that is carnal and all that is earthly. Lord, wilt thou look upon us in thy mercy? Whence can we look for help but alone from thee? Who, O Lord, hath a mighty arm? Who hath the power to take a man so corrupt and so fallen as we are, dead in sins and in trespasses, and to make him into a new creature, to give him a new will and to give him new desires, hungers, and longings in his soul after the true and the living God? Oh, there is not a man from our side, even with the desire to give it unto ourselves. And there is not a man from our side who has the power, O Lord. Oh, we are so lying in the depth of our misery. And then the greatest misery, not to know what our misery is. And to be so satisfied therein as we are traveling to a great and never-ending eternity. Lord, truly it is that we need to be awakened by thee. Oh, truly it is that we are so dependent upon thee as to be the first one in our life, to stretch forth thy mighty arm and to speak with thy voice, that voice which is powerful, that voice that is more mighty than the noise of many waters. Oh, that voice that is able to speak unto each and every one of us in one moment. And that voice that is using the voice of a man, the foolishness of preaching to bring thy word unto the ears of sinners. That there is a way for the most guilty, for the most filthy, for the most polluted, to be forgiven and to be washed and to be cleansed and to be brought to a new life and to a new communion and to a new desire. Oh, Lord, remember then each and every one of us. It is thy holy day. It is that day wherein there are some even amongst us that have been so joyful in this morning that they may come up unto the house of the Lord. Oh, there is a day wherein they may receive a little hope, a little expectation. It is a day wherein the beginnings thereof, the heart is drawn out after the true and the living God, and that he would come and that he would speak to our soul in his house. Lord, we beseech thee also then in this morning hour, that thou may fill those desires of the needy and of the poor, and that thou would give unto those hearts that thou hast wrought upon, and that thou hast given that hunger and that thirst after righteousness. Oh, that thou wouldst give to them a little to drink and to eat in this morning hour. Oh, could it please thee to feed thy own little lambs, and to feed thy sheep in the midst of thy house, as thou hast promised to do by the word of thy servants, even to the end of the world. Lord, wilt thou be pleased then to look upon each and every one of us, to take us by heart and by hand, and to lead us when we are always walking after a crooked path, even after received grace. Oh, we need that thy leading as the king of thy church, thy ruling over our own hearts, that it may be experienced moment by moment, that we may be kept from going astray, and that that one thing needful also may be bound upon our souls. Lord, we beseech thee then for thy spirit in this morning hour once again. It is another day that thou hast given to us and to our children.
a day of opportunity, a day wherein thy word may go forth, a day wherein we may be privileged to set aside all the cares and the concerns of this world. Do remember all those that still must labor in this day on the behalf of others in this world, the sick and the afflicted ones, and also those that have cattle and needs to be cared for on thy holy day, especially when it is so cold. Lord, wilt thou remember them when they must do their labors in this day? May thou give, if they are prevented from being in thy house in this morning, that their hearts also may be fed by him who is not bound to time or to place. Lord, wilt thou look then upon each and every one, the children, parents, fathers, mothers, unmarried, those that have no children, and all those and that need care by thee in this life. Oh, we need every moment of our life to be guided and to be instructed and to be led by thee, else we shall continue to walk upon that broad way that leadeth to an everlasting destruction. Lord, wilt thou then take us by heart and by hand and lead us through that straight gate, that gate in which nothing can enter except for a naked and a poor sinner, and that we may walk upon a narrow way that becomes in the life of thy children narrower and narrower, and that there may be nothing left of that people, in order that they may receive everything out of the hand of him who has accomplished all things for his church upon that cursed tree. Lord, we beseech thee for instruction. Oh, we beseech thee in thy prophetical office, that thou may give us in this day a little insight into thy holy word. We read it in thy word, O Lord. Thou didst open the understanding of thy disciples, that they might understand the scriptures. Oh, what an understanding then we may have. Oh, then that our human minds, which are also so fallen because of our own sin, then they shall once again be used in meditation of the true and the living God. Lord, then our bodies, oh, then our very soul shall be drawn to thee. Oh, and thou wilt open thy holy word, that thou may give light to shine in our hearts, and that we may see who and what we have become, and that we may have room made within for that little child that was born in Bethlehem. Oh, then it will be a stable, O Lord. It will be a wretched place that he must come into our own wretched hearts that are so full of iniquity. But when he may enter there to cleanse it, oh, then shall be the beginnings of that new life. Oh, Lord, convert us then. Oh, convert us for the first time. Convert us by renewal. Look then upon thy own flock, thy own sheep, thou who art, who hast called them with that irresistible calling of that of thy Holy Spirit. May thou look upon them also in their need, oh, that they may not be this day as cold as it is outside, but that our hearts may be warmed by thy Holy Spirit, and that they may be drawn out to thee in holy longings, and that they may burn within us to desire that thou may reveal thyself. And so may thou look upon thy own church, oh, not only amongst us, but may it be in the other congregations that are in this area. Thy servant also, who has come from far to serve in our sister congregation. And Lord, may thou be with him also in this day. And when he hopes to be also here in our midst in this afternoon hour that thou may give him much liberty and freedom to bring thy word and thy blessing to rest upon it. Wilt thou look upon all thy truly sent servants over the length and the breadth of this whole world? Oh, and they especially, as we have heard in the day of yesterday, when they are persecuted still even in this day, oh, that thou mayst strengthen and encourage them in the labors of their hands, and may thou protect them from the wiles of the enemy, and that thou may give them to be enabled to meet in peace in this day, and that thou may give thy fruit upon the labors that are performed, even in the darkest places in this world. Wilt thou remember all those that are distressed, the needs of the body that can be so great, widows, widowers, and orphans, and all those that are afflicted? May thou strengthen, may thou be near unto them day by day, and that thou may help them in all their ways. Lord, bless the afflictions, that they may not make our hearts the harder, but oh, that we may be given to come with thy servant into the house of God. And when we have been jealous of all that prosper in this world, that we may in this morning hour have our eyes opened in thy house to see what their end shall be who serve not thee and who may prosper here below. But we may be given to see what the blessedness and the precious life may be of those who may look upon to thee in all their needs. Lord, wilt thou remember us as a consistory? Thou knowest the meeting that has taken place in the week that is gone by. And those who have been re-elected unto their offices once again, that thou may remember them in mercy. Lord, once again, they have agreed to try to go forward. And thou knowest how that office does weigh upon their shoulders. Lord, may thou strengthen and may thou encourage. Oh, may it be good to serve thee, that it may be good to be in thy house. Oh, to be the least of all the servants, and that that we may labor for thy kingdom. But wilt thou also remember the wives and the children who often are in their homes when their fathers are abroad in the midst of the congregation? Lord, may thou strengthen them also, and may thou give them, oh, may thou pour out of thy Holy Spirit, that they also may receive a blessing from above. Lord, wilt thou supply then in all our needs? Go with us in this day, oh, to bring thy word and to hear thy word. Satan is so busy, O Lord, to distract us and to take away all the thought of thee and the concentration of our minds, that we could not listen and that we would not understand and that we would not take heed. Oh, he is busy to mock with thy word in our hearts also, to say that it is not true and that it shall not come to pass. Lord, could it please thee to put him away? Oh, that thou may not allow him to be in this place. Oh, send him forth, and wilt thou come with thy presence, and wilt thou fill us all together in a heart and soul in thy house in this morning, and that we may receive freedom to speak and freedom to listen, and that thou may give to us an everlasting blessing. We ask it in the forgiveness of all that is sinful. For Jesus' sake, amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 293, stanzas 1, 2, and 3, rebels who had dared to show proud contempt of God Most High, bound in iron and in woe, shades of death and darkness nigh, humbled low with toil and pain, fell and looked for help in vain. We announced that at the male members' meeting this past week, the following were re-elected to their offices: for elder, Mr. Garrett Van Heerden, and for deacon, Mr. Rick Busicum. The Lord willing, installation will take place in the morning service of Sunday, January 4th. Any lawful objections must be brought to the consistory. Psalter 293, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Thank you. Congregation, our text for this morning hour can be found in the prophecy of Micah, the second chapter, verses 12 and 13. Micah 2, verses 12 and 13. I will surely assemble, O Jacob, all of thee. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together as the sheep of Bozrah, as the flock in the midst of their fold, and they shall make great noise by reason of the multitude of men. The breaker is come up before them, and they have broken up and have passed through the gate, and are gone out by it, and their king shall pass before them, and the Lord on the head of them. So far the words of our text. The prophecy of Christ as breaker. First, he assembles his remnant. And second, he goes up before them. The prophecy of Christ as breaker. First, he assembles his remnant. Second, he goes up before them. For the context of the words of our text, congregation, we must go to the land of Babylon, that is, the Babylonian captivity. Because Micah, even as Isaiah, has also prophesied of that time that Israel would be taken captive into Babylon. And we can read in here in the first verses of this chapter the reason why that the children of Israel will go into captivity. Do you know what that is, boys and girls? Why is it that the Lord is going to punish, Micah says, his people, that they will be taken out of their own land and they will be brought into the land of the enemy, and the enemy will rule over them? Why? It is because of their own sin. Do you realize that also our sin is going to bring the punishment of the Lord? For the transgression, we read, of Jacob is all this, and for the sins of the house of Israel. Thus we read in that prophecy of Micah, and he goes into further detail what that sin is, which we cannot do at the moment. But time and time again, then we see in this prophecy that Micah is speaking of the sin of that people, and then he is speaking on the other hand of the mercy of the Lord. That mercy of the God of Israel despite that sin of his church. Thus, the Lord says to his people that he is not only going to scatter them, he is not only going to bring them into captivity, but the Lord is also going to look upon them in mercy. The Lord is also going to gather them again. Thus the Lord says he is going to root up, but the Lord is also going to plant. The Lord is going to break down, but the Lord is also going to build. We read this in this prophecy. So we read in our text, I will surely assemble, O Jacob, all of thee. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. O Jacob, all of thee, I will gather again. Does that mean that every one of those children of Israel that have gone into captivity and the children of Judah also, that they are going to be assembled and that they are going to return again to their own country, each and every one of them? No. No, we know that when that call of Cyrus went forth, that there were many of the children of Israel. They have lived now in that land for 70 years. Maybe that is the place that they have buried their father, or buried their mother. That is the place that they have been born in captivity. And there were many of them that had no desire to leave it. They had it too good. And in an outward way, they did have it good. Because, yes, they were not able to be in their own land, and they were not able to go up unto the temple of the Lord, but they had houses to dwell in, and they were in that sense not oppressed by their enemy. And so now to think about returning again to that land of Judah, of Israel, well, what is it? It is going to be nothing but hardship. There is nothing but danger along the way, and danger when we come there. We need to begin again from the bottom up, and we need to rebuild that whole city. No, there were so many people, and that it was sufficient that they stay in that place where they were. They can also worship the Lord, can they not, in this place? I will surely assemble, O Jacob, all of thee. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. Thus, there is a remnant. There is a people among the children of Israel. Who is it? This is a picture of the true people of the Lord. That is a picture of the elect of the Lord. That is a picture of the chosen of the Lord. And in the eyes of those, their brethren, well, they were mocked. They could not understand why they would want to leave this pleasant place and go back again unto that land of Judah. But the Lord, He has a willing people in the day of His power. And what did the Lord work in the heart of that remnant? He worked in the heart of the remnant the knowledge and the saving impression that their captivity was indeed a captivity. Thus they mourned. They mourned that they were in this land, that it was a people who longed after the city of the Lord, that was a people who longed for the city of Zion, and that they may go up again, that they may worship in that temple of the Lord. And when Cyrus calls, then we read, then rose up the chief of the fathers of Judah and Benjamin, and the priests and the Levites, with all them whose spirit God had raised, to go up to build the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem. Those whose spirit God had raised, God had worked that holy desire. And Micah prophesies of these things already. We read here in the days of Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, kings of Judah, I will surely assemble, O Jacob, all of thee. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. But this prophecy of Micah, that is pointing, yes, it is pointing to the return of the children of Israel out of that land of captivity. But it is only pointing to this as a type. It is pointing to this as a picture. And it is pointing to this as a picture of the gathering of the spiritual remnant of the Lord. Thus, this prophecy is receiving its fulfillment. And we have spoken about that previously, that there is often not one fulfillment, but there are often partial fulfillments, and then a final fulfillment of the prophecies of the Word of God. And so this prophecy of Micah that points to, that is fulfilled in the returning of the children of Israel back onto their land. But it is fulfilled in also a spiritual way. What did the Lord Jesus say? He says, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight." What kind of kingdom was his? His was a spiritual kingdom. And thus also the prophets of the Old Testament, they have pointed to the spiritual deliverances of the Lord. And one of that great, the great deliverance of the people of the Lord is indeed the coming of the Messiah. Thus, a further fulfillment of this prophecy lies in the days of the preaching of the gospel. This is to what all this is pointing. In those days, we read, came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So sent before the Lord to be as a voice that is crying in the wilderness. Why? Because in those days the Lord was going to gather. He was going to gather together his remnant amongst Jew and Gentile. Thus, that is the first work of the Lord. First work of the Lord, that is to gather. That is to gather his own remnant. What is that captivity that we have brought ourselves into, including that remnant? That is a great pit, wherein we have come because of our deep fall. That we have sinned ourselves outside of the blessed communion of God. And congregation, by nature, we have no desire, even with those children of Israel, to return. And why not? Because we have it too good. We are blessed with overabundance. And why is it that we should want to leave all this good land behind us? Our captivity is no captivity. We do not see it as a captivity. And we cannot understand by nature that which the Lord is placing in the heart of his people. When he is gathering that little remnant, and when he is giving to that remnant a new desire, when he is giving in their heart a hunger and a thirst after that true and the living God. And then by nature we cannot understand how that people can turn their back to everything that is in this world. We cannot understand that burden, and that is burning within the soul of that people after the Lord and after his house and after the honor and everything that has to do with him. We cannot understand why they mourn. Or when we think about Pilgrim's Progress and his family, then they also could not understand what was going on in the heart of Bunyan's Pilgrim. But what is now the first work? What is the first work of the Lord? That is to gather his remnant. That is to gather his chosen, his elect from that never begun eternity. To gather them out of where? To bring them out from the world. To separate them from this world. To make them a willing people indeed in the day of his power.
to give them open eyes to see what is their captivity, and to see that they are lying captive under sin, and to make them mourn for that sin. Oh, to give them a desire after that city of the Lord, to give them a desire. What is lying in their hearts, boys and girls? Is that lying also in your heart? What is lying in their hearts? That is a desire after God. That is a desire after God's word. That is a longing for the day of the Lord. Do you know such a desire in your heart too? This is the beginning. When the Lord says He will gather, and when the children of Israel are in captivity, and when they have it so good, then there has to be a desire. There has to be a change in the will. There needs to be a hunger that they would leave all that luxury and that they would return unto the Lord. And so the Lord is working. So the Lord is giving such a burden in the heart of His church. I will surely assemble, O Jacob, all of thee. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together as the sheep of Bozrah, as the flock in the midst of their fold. They shall make great noise by reason of the multitude of men. So He says, I will gather them together just like a flock of sheep is gathered together. A flock of sheep. Oh, then we know what a shepherd has to be in order to gather his sheep. Oh, then a shepherd is with his sheep so tender. When he is gathering them, then he is not gathering them by force. But then in that time, then that shepherd was calling. And so the Lord is also calling. And under that calling of the Lord, then the heart of the people is made so willing. Oh, just hear him call to that little boy, Samuel, Samuel. What does the Lord say? They shall come with weeping. And with supplications, how will he gather them? How he will draw their hearts. He will make them hunger. He will make them thirst. He will draw them out after that great shepherd. And he will make them to be one with his own flock. He will make them to love that people of the Lord. What did Ruth say? Thy people. My people, thy God, my God. This is the manner of that calling of the Lord. And it causes that people to gather together. Under the word of God, we can read how that the Lord has spoken to Cornelius. And Cornelius is gathered together with all of his family, with his friends, and he is calling for Peter. Will you come? And will you speak unto us the word of the Lord? The Lord is gathering his disciples together to give them instruction. The Lord is gathering a few women by the seaside that his word may go out, may come forth unto them. And giving them a desire that they may be gathered together with that flock. I had gone with the multitude, the servant of the Lord said, I went with them to that house of the Lord, with joy and with praise. Do we also know something of this voice of the Lord to gather us? And when that people is gathered, and that is especially when this promise shall receive its ultimate fulfillment, then it is not going to be a small gathering. It is true, speaks here about a remnant. And in comparison with those that go lost, then it shall be but a small part. And yet we read here, they shall make a great noise by reason of the multitude of men. So it will be a multitude of people in the end that no man is able to number. We see the beginning on the day of Pentecost. But now the gathering of that people together, that is not the end. Because after that people are in that land of Babylon, all gathered together, where do they yet remain? They still remain in that land of Babylon. And from their side, though they be all gathered together, there is no way to deliver themselves from that captivity. Thus the Lord says, I will surely gather them together. And from the side of the Lord, and then everything is already accomplished that is already in those decrees that the Lord has made from that never begun eternity. And when the Lord is working within His people, when the Lord is gathering His flock in this life, when the Lord is calling by the irresistible working of His Holy Spirit, when the Lord brings from darkness unto light, then from the side of the people, where do they then see themselves? From the Lord's side, it is done. From the Lord's side, they are truly brought in. But from the side of the people, what do they see by that light of the Lord that is shown in the midst of all their darkness? They see that they are standing in captivity. And when the Lord gives that people to mourn over that captivity, then He gives them to experience their utter helplessness to deliver themselves from this captivity. That people are not able to give to themselves anything. And there is no way from their own side to bring about a return unto that land of Israel again. Which of them, though they be gathered into a large flock, is able to effect this? What is standing in the way? The enemy? The strength of the enemy? They cannot deliver themselves from this strength of this enemy. They cannot just break through all of the obstacles that are in their way. They cannot just take off their own shackles. No, they are fenced in. And what becomes necessary? It becomes necessary that the Lord is sending deliverance. And so we see in a natural way, so we see for the children of Israel, that the Lord is giving a Zerubbabel. And that Zerubbabel, he is a type of that great breaker. We see that in our second thought, he goes before them. The breaker has come up before them. They have broken up and have passed through the gate and are gone out by it. Thus, who had to break through that gate whereby the children of Israel were fenced in and they were not allowed by the enemy to escape and to leave the place of their captivity? Who had to break through that gate? That was the Lord Himself. And the Lord led His people out by that hand of Zerubbabel. How did the Lord do that?
children.
What happened when the children of Israel came across the River Jordan and they came into the land of Canaan? And then they were to enter in unto that city Jericho. What happened? Well, then they circled and they went around 7 times, and the walls of that city, they fell down flat. Then the Lord gave them the victory. Is that what the Lord did here too? When the children of Israel were in the land of Babylon, and they must experience their own helplessness and that they are not able to deliver themselves? Did the Lord then throw down the walls of Babylon so all the children of Israel could run out and escape? No, the Lord has more than one way to deliver His people. What did the Lord do? We read in the Word of God, He has the heart of kings in His hand. And all He did was speak. He only spoke one word. One word in that heart of the king, that heathen king, Cyrus. And he gave in the heart of that king the inclination toward this captive people. To call the people and to say to the people, whosoever will, they may return again to the land of their father. One word. The heart of the ruler. And it was just as if all the doors in that city, in one moment, they went completely wide open. It was just as if in one moment, all of those great and those high walls of the city, they come tumbling down. In one moment, all the opposition of the enemy that is taken away. 3 times here we read of the progression of the work of the Lord. We read, they have broken up and passed through the gate and are gone out by it. 1, 2, 3. That work that is progressing. It progresses with certainty, step by step. And there is no man in the whole world that is able to stop it. So it is, congregation, with the salvation of that true church of God that is taking place by the hand of that breaker, the Lord Jesus Christ. All the inhabitants of the world, they are reputed by Him as nothing. And as less than nothing, and as vanity, because He doeth His will in all the earth and among the inhabitants of the earth and of the heaven. There is not one that can say unto Him, what doest thou? And thus, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the breaker, went before His church to break through all the obstacles that were standing in the way of that people, already in heaven, already in that stillness of eternity, He has broken through when He has undertaken to do the work of that blessed mediator. Already in that council of peace, there it was asked, how shall I put thee among the children? And give to thee a pleasant land, a goodly heritage among the nations. The question goes out, even in the stillness of eternity. And then came shortly the answer. Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will. Oh, my God, already in that stillness of eternity, that whole plan of salvation completely set out by a triune God. And what is impossible with man, that is become possible by God, the breaker. The breaker is come up before them. Then how shall that riddle be solved that our fathers in our catechism lay out about the requirements of a mediator for such a people? That he must be one who is very man and perfectly righteous, and yet more powerful than all creatures. Yes, one who is also very God. Wisdom of man too short. The wisdom of man cannot fathom how that this can be solved. What does Micah say? He says, the breaker is come up before them. And he says, I will break through also this difficulty. I will break through that womb of the virgin. I will break through in an extraordinary way. And so step by step, that breaker, he is passing before his church. And there is no one that is able to stay his hand. And he is going at the head, we read here, of his church. There were enemies. There were enemies even in his very birth that attempted to destroy him. Even when he was just born, there were enemies when he entered into his ministry, even enemies from among his own native countrymen. And they will take him and they will throw him off of the brow of the hill. But it is impossible. Why? Because the breaker is going up before his church. And the devil, Satan, he will come at him. He will come against him with every device which he has. But that breaker that is going before his church will break through every temptation. The strict requirements of that holy law of God, they will not keep him back, but he will break through even to the fulfillment of every single one of these requirements. He will break through that bitter suffering that needs to be endured. Then he will say, not my will, O my God, but thy will be done. He will break through the very troops of hell itself. He will break through sin. He will break through Satan. He will break through this world. He will spoil principalities. He will spoil powers. The breaker is come up before them. He will break through even to the satisfaction of his own Father, of his righteousness, of his justice, so that mercy and truth may be met together, so that righteousness and peace may kiss each other. He will break the yoke of sin and the law. He will take away the curse of the law. He will set every one of his church at liberty. He will open for them the prison house. He will give to be preached liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. He will break that power of the devil himself. He will bruise his head and he will lead away captivity captive. The breaker is come up before them, and he will break through that veil that is standing before the children of Israel so evidently, before that great holy of holies, that place where God is dwelling, and they may not enter into that place, but he, the breaker, he is going to cause that veil to be ripped in half from the top unto the bottom. He is going to break through that veil of ceremonies, And so that salvation may come not only unto the Jews, but also unto the Gentiles. The breaker is come up before them, breaking through the cords of death itself. Just like Samson of old, who took the gates of the city and he carried them on his back, even up unto the hill itself. And so he did even with those gates of death. When he has broken that power of Satan and those cords of death that have held the people of the Lord captive, but that breaker has gone up before them and he has made a breach, as it were, in that wall by which the people could freely go out. The breaker to break through every obstacle, to break through every mountain that is standing in the way of his church. And so we read that breaker goes before them. And when the breaker goes before them, then we read that the people are going after him. He is going at the head of them, we read. He has prepared the way, and he has broken through everything that has been standing in the way, and he has made a clear path for the people only to follow. Are we also following? Let us sing. Psalter 352, all stanzas. Had not the Lord been Israel's help, when angry foes assailed, had not the Lord been on our side, our righteous cause had failed. 1-4 of Psalter 352. Thank you.
congregation, the Lord not only broke through for His church in the events of salvation, that is, that He broke through in His coming into this world in the flesh, in His suffering, in His death, in His resurrection, that in this way He broke through, but the Lord is also breaking through in an experimental way in the life of His own church, that the people may experience Him as He reveals Himself anew in the Word of God, that they may experience Him to be the breaker who is come up before them. Then there is a people who experienced what it is to be gathered. There is a people who experienced what it is for the captivity of this world to become indeed a captivity. Is that so in our life? That we know what it is to be called forth by the Spirit of the Lord. That we know what it is for this world to lose all its luster, all the enjoyment of the world being taken out of our heart, and for that longing of the Lord to go out after Him, or do we know something of a change in our desires, so that what before we desired, oh, that is now so far from us, but that our desires have been made new by that Holy Spirit of the Lord, and that the eyes are opened to see that actually this most pleasant place in which we dwell, that is nothing more than the captivity, a captivity wherein Satan is holding us captive. But when our eyes are open, oh, did we ever see that we are remaining in this captivity and that we are not able to deliver ourselves out of this captivity? Do you know what we read? That the people of the Lord, they spoke often one to another. Is that also in our midst? The people of the Lord, in the midst of their captivity, that are not able to deliver themselves. Or maybe, no, you cannot call yourself one of the people of the Lord. And yet, what is your burden? Oh, then it can be so good for that people to be gathered together, that they may be gathered in the house of God, that they may be gathered together during the week. But what do they find? Oh, the key to that prison that is lying on the other side of that door, that I am not able to deliver myself from this awful captivity that I am in, that I may see something of my wretchedness, that I may see something of that great fall, but I cannot deliver myself out of it. You understand, that is now the people. That is now the people who come to need such a great breaker. The people that need someone to go before them, someone to break through all those difficulties that they are not able to break through. One that may break through that power of sin in their heart, that may break through that love of sin and that they still feel dwelling in their heart. Someone to break through the hardness of my heart. Someone to break through the darkness of that ignorance of my own heart. Darkness of ignorance concerning myself. Ignorance concerning who that God is. Oh, someone to break through that great wall of separation, that I am not able to penetrate to return unto my Maker. Someone to break through the bonds of unbelief. Someone to break through the arrows of Satan himself. And Micah prophesied of that breaker.
And he prophesied of one that would come into this world, and that which we hope to commemorate in congregation, if we may know something of what it means for Christ to be born in our heart, then we will also know something of this breaker. Oh, David, we sang that together. My soul is escaped, just like a bird is escaped from that snare of the fowler. And when the Lord is breaking through, oh, that enemy congregation, he is all finished. He is all finished. Why? Because then sin cannot come in between anymore. And why not? Because of the breaker, the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanseth us from all sin. Oh, that breaker. And when he is revealing himself, oh, then that people may see a little bit of how that Father was satisfied. And if the Father was satisfied, oh, then there is peace between God and my soul, the breaker. The breaker is come up before them, the mediator between the soul and God, to break in sunder all the bands and to set that people free, to break in sunder that staff of the wicked, to break in sunder the teeth of the ungodly. Oh, when could Israel experience that the breaker had gone before them when they stood on the other side of the sea? And then they saw all their enemies. They were drowned in that sea. And all the enemy congregation, all that enemy in one moment lost all of its power because of that power of that breaker that went before. And what made that people see in that moment, and that breaker goes before them, then they may see that all their sin that is cast into the depth of the sea. Oh, then if God be for us, who can be against us? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? Oh, do you also need this breaker? Oh, we ask this question. Why? Because we are going forward. We are going forward day by day, week by week. We are going forward to the commemoration of the birth of the Son of God. The congregation, could we but give you this desire? Could we but give to you this need? A need for one with more power than I have. A need for one who is not just a minister, who is not just an office bearer. No, a need for one who is not just a human being, but a need for one who is able to break through all that which I cannot break through. Or a need for him that is divine. A need for the Son of God who was born in the Bethlehem's manger, a need for one who is able to do for me what I cannot do for myself. O congregation, if we now go forward in these next weeks and we have no need for him, how? How are we going to commemorate Christmas? Yes, then we may gather here together. We hope to do that. And then we may sing together. We may sing the praises of that great God that was revealed unto God's servants in the past, written down in the Psalms, what was in their heart concerning that great God. We may sing them with our mouth. We may listen to our children, the little children, sing. What will it be for us? What will it be for us? What has it been for us in all the years of our life that we have commemorated the birth of the Son of God in this world? What has it meant to us? Is it only an hour commemoration? It'll testify against us forever and forever. That there may be a people that may go on your knees. To go on your knees and say, Lord, it is a breaker. The breaker has gone up before his people. And he has broken through every impossibility. Every impossibility. Can you not be converted? Are you dead? Sins and in trespasses. Is that your burden? The breaker. The breaker. He has gone before them. And there was nothing. No man, no army of men, not Satan himself, with all his legions, that was able to come against this breaker. No one. Thus, are you dead? Here is now a place to go. And we hope that there may be a people who may experience him as the breaker to break through that death, to give you that new desire. Oh, does it become more and more impossible? Because of what lies within, does it become more and more impossible? Because you see more and more of a fountain, that you say it is possible for the whole world, even with everything that the Lord has done for me and what I thought that he had given me in my life. Does that all come to nothing? Oh, the breaker is come up before them. And what is impossible with man, that has become through this breaker possible with God. And the Lord is able to speak one word. And that enemy, he will not only be against you, he will be for you. Just as Cyrus, this is the power of God. This is the power of a breaker for a people who have no power. No power. Is that also you? Oh, may we come then. May we come then. You say, Lord, I cannot come. I cannot come. My heart cannot come. Oh, congregation, fold your hands and bow your knees. Because the Lord has the power and he will do it for his own name's sake. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, thou who art the breaker, and thou who canst and hast broken through every impossibility, all we beseech thee. In this morning hour, in this thy house, that thou may look upon us and our children. Lord, wilt thou give thyself to be known and to be experienced as the breaker, as thy servants of old may experience thee to be, old in thy name that will be glorified forever and forever. Look upon us further in this day. Bring us safely to our homes
And wilt thou give us desire to be together in thy house again in this afternoon? Strengthen thy servant to go before this portion of our flock and be in the midst of them as one that serveth. Remember us in the other part of this flock. Help us to bring us safely home also in the end of this day. Forgive our many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. Psalter 207, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. God is known among his people. Every mouth his praises fill. From of old he hath established his abode on Zion's hill. There he broke the sword and arrow, bade the noise of war be still. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 207. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.
Blessing.